The state assembly passed two bills last month that would strengthen certain penalties for drunk driving. Authored by Republican Jim Ott, the bills passed with unanimous voice votes and have the support of the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. One of the state's most powerful lobbying groups, the Tavern League, is remaining neutral. The bills have yet to be taken up by the state Senate, which isn't expected to be back in session until this fall. Jeremy Arney is an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. Jeremy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me back.
The state assembly has passed these two bills, one that would require a court appearance for a first OWI offense. The other would create a mandatory minimum prison sentence of 5 years if someone is killed in an OWI offense. In the context of Wisconsin's current alcohol laws, how significant is it that these were passed by the assembly at this point?
Well, on its face, it looks like progress, right? So you have two very more strict laws being passed out of this committee up into the Senate. So it looks good up front, but those similar bills, the one that would require someone to be in court for the first offense and then also a mandatory prison imprisonment minimum of 5 years, have in some way, shape, or form been introduced in the past in the legislature. And so it looks like, because Representative Ott is a member of the committee that and also is the author of many of these bills that come out in the last 10 years, it looks like that they're fine with it, the assembly. But from what I can tell, once it hits the Senate, it just doesn't make it onto the priority list and usually dies. There are a couple that have made it that we can talk about later if you'd like.
Sure. And I want to back up to that one bill that would require a court appearance for a first OWI offense. What happens currently when someone gets that first offense?
It's like a traffic ticket. It's a traffic violation. They're not required to show up in court. So Representative Ott's idea is that if an individual has to go through the experience of facing a judge, that they're not going to, you know, this is going to be a deterrent for future OWI offenses.
And likewise, with the mandatory minimum prison sentence of 5 years, if someone is killed as a result of that OWI offense, what happens now? What happens? What kind of prison sentence, if any, is someone likely to get?
It's up to the discretion of the judge. So, as once again, Representative Ott has mentioned that he has confidence that most judges are going to put people away if they kill somebody in an OWI offense, but that he did have knowledge of someone or a judge that actually only sentenced someone to like 11 months after they'd killed somebody in prison. So this is just to make it a mandatory 5-year sentence.
As you said, Representative Ott has been championing these types of reforms for quite a while. Are there other individuals or groups that have been consistently for strengthening the OWI legislation?
Well, yeah, you've got your Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association that are definitely on board for passing stricter laws. But then you also have opposition with the Wisconsin Counties Association, because this is more work on their plate if this happens.
And one of the arguments against OWI-related bills has been the cost, and that cost is on the court system, on law enforcement. Is there a way for these new bills to be able to address those concerns in order to move forward?
Yeah, I think that the first one that deals with the court appearance, that person is going to have to pay a court fee and a fine to the county where the offense was committed. And then that goes into the county's treasury, and that goes to – it's kind of earmarked for treatment and prevention programs. So in a sense, it's not a fiscal cost to the state. It's more of a cost to the individual perpetrator. It's similar to the ignition lock program that was introduced back in 2017, that the individual has to pay for the device and the monitoring of that.
There has also been concern raised that this is not, if you want to limit drunk driving, these are not the ways to do it. But what do we know about other states that do have stricter OWI legislation and punishment, and how effective that has been there?
Well, the bottom line is that our state is known to be a heavy drinking state and have a heavy drinking culture. And so that tends to be institutionalized or baked in to our systems, if you want, because of our lax OWI laws and because of our extremely low beer tax that we have in the state. So other states have definitely have stricter OWI laws and drinking and driving laws for sure. I think we're the only state that still makes the first offense a traffic violation. So there's that. We just don't, and our beer tax is so low, as I had mentioned, second lowest in the country. So other people have addressed that. It seems that the political will in other states has been there because everybody knows that drinking and driving is a moral issue, a moral problem, and is wrong. But the political will has been lacking in this state. So we give a lot of upfront face that we're addressing this issue, but we really haven't done anything besides I think Representative Ott was given Governor Walker signed into law in 2014 the seventh, eighth, or ninth offense of OWI. You get no less than 3 years in prison, and if you get a tenth offense, then no less than four. These aren't that strict, right? I mean, who's going to wait around for 7, 8, 9, and 10 to put somebody in jail for such a minimal time? So these are issues that need to be addressed. And it was for the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th offense, but it hasn't been for the 5th and 6th offense. Those have just sat there in committees for the Senate committees.
We're talking with Jeremy Arney right now. He's an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse, joining us from our studios there. And we are talking about efforts to strengthen the legislation about how OWI offenses are punished. And Jeremy, you know, we've been talking about how Wisconsin is really an outlier on this. And our news department did a 2-week series about Wisconsin's relationship with alcohol. Surely there are in other states people who do profit off of the, you know, drinking and socializing and things like that. And especially you said now, you know, some law enforcement organizations are in support of these tighter restrictions. What is it about Wisconsin that this doesn't play out in the same way it might somewhere else?
Well, to answer the first part of your question about those that are in support of drinking, that last bill that I just talked about in 2014, which in addition allowed more emergency personnel, law enforcement, phlebotomists, and others to undertake chemical testing of blood and urine tests on OWIs. And if there was an individual under 16 in the vehicle, then you had to be put in imprisonment for less than 3 months, or 3 months at least, or less, and not more than 1 year. So, and what's interesting is that the Tavern League was in favor of that bill in 2014, but Miller Coors was neutral back then. And Wisconsin Counties Association still took a stance against it, and it all comes back to the workload. So currently, district attorneys are swamped, and they don't have enough personnel to handle the cases that are currently being processed. So if you increase enforcement and implement these stricter laws, you're going to have even that much more to deal with. And as you mentioned at the top, the fiscal part is just – it kills it every time. And so if you can find a way to make the violator the one that pays for these policy solutions that we're talking about, then maybe that might give it a little more clout and pass and get signed by the legislature and the governor.
You mentioned that Wisconsin has one of the lowest beer tax rates in the country. Where do those beer tax dollars go in other states? Is that a possible source of revenue?
Yeah, in some states they have earmarked them for treatment and prevention programs, and we tried that here. But there's lots of problems with implementing a beer tax, and people don't like earmarked anything. And then so your alternative is to throw it into the general fund if you have increased revenues from a beer tax. And nobody likes to do that because you can't really follow, well, where is it actually being spent? So it's kind of a catch-22, right? So you can't earmark it for treatment and prevention, but you also can't throw it in the general fund because people don't like that. Another thing is that all the interest groups that you get involved to help support such an increase, you've got the Homeless Veterans Association, you've got the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police, you've got the Wisconsin Hospitals Association, doctors, all that. They want a piece of the pie, and in the past, we've only increased it by just so – we tried to increase it by 2.3 cents. So basically, it would bring our tax up to 3 cents a bottle of beer, where in other states like Alaska, it's $1.21.
The tax itself is $1.21.
The tax itself, yeah. So we're really on the low end of the spectrum there.
And Jeremy, as we start to wrap up, Are there ways that other states have been able to turn the tide at some point? I'm guessing that there were other states who might have been more on the lower end of how seriously drunk driving is punished and were able to make a change. Are there any lessons out there that Wisconsin might be able to learn?
Sure. If we can get the legislators to just sell this, any type of solution with these stricter OWI laws or an increase in beer tax as a public health issue, I mean, because it is. The CDC had us in 2018 as ranking sixth in OWI offenses and seventh in consumption rates. If we can convince the public that this is a real issue, a problem, and it's a public health issue, it's not a punishment issue or we're just trying to raise fines or get money through, you know, off the backs of the citizens. But no, it's a way to actually address the public health issues with drinking and driving and overconsumption and having, you know, being pregnant and drinking and all the different aspects that Wisconsin faces at a harsher rate than others, but the others have actually had that political will, as I mentioned before, to do something about it. And I think the problem is that we haven't sold it as a public health issue yet, and we're still looking at it as a fine. And nobody likes taxes in pretty much anywhere, and nobody likes taxes in this state. So that's why it's been 50 years now since Wisconsin's increased the tax on a 31-gallon keg of beer from $1 to $2. And if you put that in perspective across the nation, the average currently now is probably somewhere around $20, $25, and we're still at the $2 mark. So that just shows the work that we have to do as a state.
Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Jeremy Arnie is an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. He talked with us about two OWI-related bills that passed the state assembly and why passing tougher drunk driving laws is slow going here in Wisconsin.